The essence of faith. To put one's hands, or to put one's life in the Lord's hands. We submit to God's word as it governs our lives. We submit to God's providence as it is the manifestation of God's will. We pray the prayer which Jesus prayed as he was in the garden. Not as I will, but as you will. Even though we submit to the will of the Lord, it does not always mean that we understand it. It does not mean we always know exactly what God has planned. Even at times we may pray the prayer which Jesus gave in the garden saying, not my will but yours be done, but it may also begin as that prayer began. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. In times of struggle, we may not understand what the Lord is planning. In times of struggle, we may not understand why we are undergoing the things that we are going through. That prayer which contains, Lord, please let this cup pass from me, may also contain the words, Lord, why have you taken my job away from me? But your will be done. Lord, why have you allowed this great illness to fall upon me or my family member? But to you be the glory. Lord, why have you withheld this blessing from me, though other people who are not called by your name are receiving all of the best of this life? But praise be to your name. Lord, why have you allowed this innocent or righteous person to die? Lord, why have you permitted the wicked to go unpunished and even to prosper? We might think that in faith we are not supposed to ask such questions. But this morning I want to tell you, brethren, that faith is not hiding from the presence of the Lord in silence. Faith is not even having all of the answers. Faith is bringing our questions into the presence of the Lord in prayer. The person that we're going to learn that from this morning was a prophet who had a lot of questions. In fact, it's peculiar about this prophet that he never once is communicating directly to the people. It's just a conversation between he and God. It's the prophet Habakkuk. And Habakkuk, as he sees the thing, sees everything that's going on, just simply wonders, how can this be the plan? I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand all these terrible things that are happening around me. How can this be the plan? But I want to learn a lesson about Habakkuk's faith this morning. And how that faith was manifested in his prayer life. And how he brought his questions before the Lord and the manner in which he brought his questions to him. We can have a lot of questions of God today. And we may very well look at things in our life and ask, God, how can this be your plan? But learning a lesson about faith, we will learn to submit to the will of the Lord, even though we bring our petitions before Him. Habakkuk, if you open up, we'll be spending most of our time in the book of Habakkuk this morning. And as the book opens, we see Habakkuk bringing his petitions before the Lord because he's enduring a very hard conflict. He's looking around and he just doesn't see how God's hand could be acting in all of this. Begin reading with me in verses 1 through 4. The oracle of which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for help and will you not hear? I cry out to you violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contentions arise. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. The first thing I want us to see about Habakkuk's faith this morning is that faith asks hard questions. And in this very passage, Habakkuk's faith is asking very hard questions. And the first thing I want you to see about his hard questions is that Habakkuk's hard questions arose out of his knowledge of God's character. I think it's just really awesome to see. If you ever want to learn about God's character, read the prayers of those who are struggling in the Bible. But Habakkuk's hard questions arose out of what he knew of God. If you read through that passage again, verses 1 through 5 in the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk sees a contrast between what he knows of God and what he sees around him. What he sees in God is that God, in verse 2, is that He is the source of salvation. He says, "How long will I call out for you and you don't hear? I know by my faith that I'm supposed to be calling to you for help. I'm supposed to be calling to you for the answer. You are the source of all strength and you are the source of my salvation. That is what I know about you, God." What else does he see about God? But that he knows that God is holy. So he says, "Why do you cause me to look on iniquity? Why does wickedness prevail?" He knows that God is holy. He also knows that God is just. Yet it says, "Therefore the law is ignored and justice is never upheld." He knows that God is righteous. Yet he says, "The wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted." We can look through the rest of the Bible and be confirmed that God is the source of salvation, that God is holy, that God is just, and that God is righteous. Yet when Habakkuk looks around, he doesn't see the world confirming that which he knew about God. His questions arose out of his knowledge for God, and his hard questions were prompted by the hardship in the world around him. He saw violence. He saw iniquity. He saw wickedness and he saw injustice. And what he saw was not consistent with what he knew God to be. There are some, I guess you could call them philosophers today, who have deliberated on the problem of evil. Have you ever heard of the problem of evil? It's summarized in this. God is entirely loving. God is entirely good, and God is entirely powerful. However, how can you explain then sin in the world? If God is all good, then He wouldn't want sin and suffering to be in the world. If He is all loving, then He cares enough about each person. And if He's all powerful, then He's strong enough to stop it. And so they've concluded that God does not exist. That's not the conclusion that I would come to. However, I see, just as Habakkuk sees, that looking around this world, there are some things that are not godly. There are some things that we understand is nothing like God. There's sin in the world. You know what? There's even sin in my life. I battle with it every day. And I will never stop battling with it. But even that in and of itself is inconsistent with what we know God's character to be. But God is just. God is righteous. God is holy, and thank goodness for my sin, God is also the source of salvation. But Habakkuk is struggling with that at this point. Habakkuk is going through a very difficult time. You know, other people in similar times of distress, when they call out to the Lord, formulate their questions from how, what they know about God. Just like Paul in the book of Romans, as he prays the Lord, the God of peace, do this. The God of grace, do this. He's calling out to God because God is the only person capable of doing anything about it. And though Habakkuk saw that inconsistency, he's praying to God. And as he prays, Habakkuk asks hard questions in a very faithful way. He never once doubted God. He never once questioned whether or not God is just. He never once claimed that God was unrighteous or that he was unholy or that he was incapable of saving him. Because his faith was stronger than the trials around him. We may have questions for God. You may wonder, why is this happening? But this is part of faith, learning to ask God in a faithful way. Here's an example of that. Turn to Psalm 55. This is one of my favorite passages, and the reason that it's one of my favorite passages is because I learned of it during a time in my life when I was going through a very rough time. And it was a lot like what David is now saying in this psalm. Read with me the first 12 verses or so. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide your face from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and am surely distracted. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far into the wilderness, or I would wander far away, and I would lodge in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and the tempest. Confuse, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around her on her walls, and iniquity and mischief are in her midst. Destruction is in her midst, and deceit and oppression do not depart from her streets. For it is not my enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me that has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together and walked in the house of God in throng. Go ahead and stop there. David, as he's praying for refuge. He's praying for God to do something. His very friend has betrayed him. And he's a mess. He's a mess, and he says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and I would be at rest. I would run as fast as I can." He says, "I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and the tempest." Maybe there's a stormy wind and a tempest in your life right now. But now hear the rest of this prayer. Begin reading with me in verse 16. "As for me, I shall call upon the Lord, and the Lord will save me." I don't even need to read anymore. "I will call upon the Lord, and He will save me." That's what Habakkuk is doing right now. Right here, as we're reading in Habakkuk, he is just as much of a mess as David is. He's going through that same hard time. In fact, some of the same language, he says that iniquity is everywhere around him. That strife and envy and oppression is around him. That injustice is around him. But he's calling upon the Lord. That is the first lesson that we have to hear, or that we need to know about faith. Faith asks hard questions. But it asks hard questions in a faithful way. Even in his time of distress, he was faithful and he was trusting, leaning upon the Lord. We sang a lot about leaning upon the Lord and trusting Him today, and I thank Stephen for that, for the songs that he chose. Conceptually, that's easy to think about. Leaning upon the Lord, Him being our strength. But that conviction is put to the test when life would wear and tear at it, when we're going through a hard time. And Habakkuk and David are teaching us to ask questions in a faithful way. And that faith should persevere through hard times. As the story in Habakkuk continues, we learn that faith accepts hard answers. Habakkuk was crying out to God because he saw the people of God as they were forsaking God's covenant. They were sinning, they were not being God's people. And that seemed to be enduring. That seemed to be prevailing. And so Habakkuk cries out, "When are you going to do something about this?" This was God's answer. Read with me in Habakkuk 1 and in verse 5. "Look among the nations. Observe. Be astonished and wonder. Because I am doing something in your days. I am doing something in your days. You would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth and seize dwelling places that are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping and their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence and their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings and rulers are laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap of rubble to capture it. They will sweep through like a wind and pass on. As Habakkuk hears this, God says, "I'm going to do something, but it's a very hard answer." In fact, this is how Habakkuk responds. "You are from everlasting. O Lord, my God, my Holy One. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge? Habakkuk doesn't understand the answer that he's receiving. God says, I'm going to send this people among you, and I'm going to take care of this problem. Habakkuk says, what? You've got to be kidding. The Chaldeans? Do you have any idea how bad they are? They're worse than we are. I mean, if you want to cure violence and strife and iniquity, why would you send a nation that's even worse than the people that you're judging? But the lesson in faith is that Habakkuk accepts hard answers. We can pray to God a lot of times. And in all faith say, if you will. But it's still really hard when you don't get the answer you're looking for. When you don't get the answer you're hoping for. Please, this person is suffering on account of their illness. Please heal them. Lord, this person is dying. Don't you see that? Please save them. Lord, you know how much difficulty I'm going through as my financial situation is a burden and how distracted I am on account of it. Please just deliver me from that. But faith, as we see in Habakkuk, can accept hard answers. Even the answer we weren't expecting. But faith endures through that. Habakkuk did not understand the answers he received from God. And I think that's a drastic understatement, that he didn't understand. Really? His questions just got deeper at that point. He said, wait, hold on. That's your solution? Even though he didn't understand, Habakkuk received the answers that were going to be trying to his faith. You know the phrase, that which doesn't kill you will make you stronger? Well, that which didn't kill Habakkuk was going to make his faith stronger. Because he was forced at that point not to resist God, but to strengthen it. He understood at that point that God was the only answer that he was going to find. And he wasn't going to find salvation in anyone else. No one else was capable of doing anything about it. So rather than give up on his faith, rather than denying the Lord, he just kept asking questions. This is the response I think it needs to have in our lives too. If you're going through a hard time, it's not the time to stop praying. It's the time to keep praying. It's the time to pray stronger. It's the time to pray more. It's the time to deepen your dependence on God. James 1 says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. This is, I think, why. The hard time that I was telling you about before, for which Psalm 55 was the text of my life. Thankfully, that made me stronger. And not that I became stronger in and of myself, but I learned to trust in God at that point. And I pray your response would be the same. Habakkuk, the answers were trying to his faith, but they strengthened it. They deepened it. Habakkuk continued to trust in the Lord even though he didn't understand. I think if you could learn any lesson from the book of Habakkuk, that's it. He continued to trust in God. I pray you do too. Strengthen your resolve. Deepen your conviction. Let your faith endure. And as it endures, the rewards of faith will never shy away. That life of hope which you live, which you have, doesn't change at all, no matter what you're going through. But this is the second lesson that I want us to see in Habakkuk this morning. Is not only does faith ask hard questions, faith accepts hard answers. But faith also remains faithful. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. I'm going to read that which Blair read for us earlier today, and I'm appreciative for what he read. I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. For the people who arise who will invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there should be no fruit on the vines. Though the yield of the olives should fail, and the fields produce no food. Though the flocks should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And He has made my feet like hinds' feet. And He makes me walk on my high places. Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk remains steadfast in prayer during those hard times. Habakkuk remains steadfast in praising the Lord during hard times. And Habakkuk remains steadfast in penitence during hard times. He understood that that day of judgment was coming, and so he just continued to want to personally rid all of the evil from his life. He wanted to come to the Lord, say, "Forgive me for that which I've done against you. Praise you for that which you're going to accomplish among these people. Because you are the source of my salvation." You know, circumstances are hard to deal with. But you know that which has been the biggest trial in my life? Never arose out of circumstance. It's the sin that I battle every day. It's really hard. And it's hard to see at that point, how is there an answer for this? I can't get rid of it. I can't rid this from my life. I've tried and I'm trying and I'm trying, but I continually fail. Habakkuk, as he saw that day drawing near, as he saw the day when God was going to accomplish, he came to the Lord wanting to be right with Him. I think that's a lesson that we need to learn. Because your biggest battle, your biggest problem, has nothing to do with physical wellness, has nothing to do with money, has nothing to even do with the amount of time that you spend on this earth, the number of breaths that you take. Your greatest difficulty is that battle which is going on in you. What God saw was that no one has prevailed against that. But if I were to learn one lesson from the book of Habakkuk, the Lord is in control. He's got everything taken care of. He is powerful enough to save you. He loves you enough to save you. He's good enough to want to be with you forever. Of all the times that God has been planning since the beginning of time, and of all the times that I would think that God lost control, that I just really wouldn't understand what was going on, I can't imagine the struggle of the apostles. They witnessed the Son of God. They saw Him and they walked with Him every day. They knew that He was the Christ, and they knew that He had come to rid the world of its sin. They knew that this was God incarnate. He, of all people, was most powerful of any man that has ever walked the face of the planet. He, of all people, was most good and innocent on account of it. I can't imagine watching that. Watching Him die. How can this be the plan? How can that be the answer? But that's the answer that we received. That's the answer that God gave us for our greatest struggle. If I were one of the apostles, I'd wonder what in the world is going on. Did the plan of God just fail? However, luckily, on account of our hindsight, we get to see that it wasn't the greatest problem. Satan wasn't winning at that point. God was entirely in control. He was so much in control that He stayed on that cross. He was so much in control that He endured the hard time that He was going through and kept entrusting Himself to the one who was able to save Him from death. That's what Hebrews 5 tells us. The Lord was in control. And so the Lord gave us an answer. I'm going to accomplish something in your days that you would never have believed had it been told you. I'm going to rid the world of sin. I'm going to take those sins and cast them to the bottom of the sea. I'm going to make that which is unclean, clean. I'm going to make that which is unholy, holy. I'm going to make that which is dead, alive. What I want us to take away from this lesson this morning is that in your life, God is in control. Even when it looks like He isn't. Even when you can't see how God is acting in your life, remain faithful. Because just like we see in Jesus, just like we see when we think that, how can this be the plan? God is doing something in your life. Remain faithful. And God can conquer the greatest problem in the entire world. That's it. But what a powerful message that is. You know what that gives me? It gives me hope. It gives me assurance. It gives me strength to go through each day. It gives me strength to battle the sin that's in my life. Because I know God is greater than that. It gives me confidence. One day, I can stand before God, before His judgment seat. And when He said, "Your sins are forgiven," I can have confidence in that. And so, I encourage you, pray more fervently. Live more penitently. Praise more loudly. Live the life of God's servant. Live the life of God's faithful. Even if circumstances would try your faith. This song that we're about to sing is the song of the faithful. It's a song that, as Stephen has already told us, begins by saying, "All of self and none of thee. Me, 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 me. Okay, maybe some of self and more of thee. Okay, more of thee and some of self." This is the song of the faithful who are submitting to God, who are entrusting themselves to Him and saying, "All of thee and none of me." If in your life's battle you've been struggling to say, "All of you and none of me," and you want to be strengthened by the prayers of the brethren here, you have an opportunity this morning. And if you have never conceded your life to Christ, you've never given Him all of self, never given Him everything, and died with Him, and become part of that wonderful plan, you have the opportunity for that this morning too. Please make ample use of that opportunity as we stand and we sing this song.